My dearest people, before I begin my homily there, I'm going to tell you a little story that actually happened. It actually happened, you see, you know, this past Christmas there. And I was invited to a family in Aiken there, you see, through some other parishioner. And, you know, I accepted the invitation there. It was wonderful. And it happened to be, you know, the very first time in my life that I had a Christmas dinner in a Lutheran family, first time there, you see. And it was just wonderful there, big house there. And I took a place there. And, you know, the guest, the husband of the house, told his wife, you see, you know, I wanted to make Monsignor a drink, you know. And they asked me, what do you want? I said, maybe Cabernet or Merlot red wine, see, you know. And she looked at him and says, you know, the wife looked at him and said, I'm exhausted. And I'm wondering, now what's going on between these two? You know? And the pastor said, but what about me? He said, yesterday, Christmas Eve, I preached one sermon. And today, Christmas Day, I preached two sermons. I'm tired. I should be exhausted. And quipped the wife, who says, you know, listening to your three homilies, I got exhausted. Well, you want your three homilies from me today there. All the nations will adore you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Today's feast of the Epiphany, in actual fact, is a very, very important feast. In a way, much more important, to say, you know, than Christmas. Because at this feast, you know, Jesus is made known not only to the Jews or to a small area there, but to the whole world. And that's why we respond, Lord, all the nations on earth will adore you. In that context, taking the journey of the three magi, or the three kings, or the three wise men, our lives, my dear brothers and sisters, is a journey, believe it or not. Some are just starting out, just like these little kids are just starting out there, you know. Some are discovering love for the very first time. Some are beginning to find out that romantic love brings with it pain as well as joy. Some are busy with children. Some look forward to those times when they get to know their children's children, but not for too long, as you know that. Grandparents love to have the kids, but you know, at the end of the day, you go back to mom and dad, right? We spoil you, but you go back to mom and dad there. See? Then there are those of us whose journey is coming towards the end, perhaps experiencing suffering and loneliness, perhaps experiencing peace and satisfaction. We are all, my dear brothers and sisters, traveling together at one place or another in our journeys. Our journey through life is like a conveyor belt that keeps on moving and moving, and the only way we can get out of it is to die. But that's not so with the journey to the Lord. Today's feast reminds you and me that our relationship with God is a journey too. Some of us are just getting started. Some of us perhaps have been away for whatever may be the reason. And we are reconnecting again. Our journey toward God, though definitely not a conveyor belt. You and I have to put our own energy and movement into the process of that journey will stop. Unfortunately, as you and I know from our own experience, also in our own families, some people decide they have gone far enough, while others let them slide back or go off to another direction altogether. That's the fact of life. And today, on this feast, we hear the story toward of the Magi. The word Magi is a genetic word for wise persons priests, magicians, sorcerers, soothsayers, astrologers, who were advisors to the kings and Persians. The Persians and Medes inhabited the area today known as Iran. The gospel, the scriptures don't tell us who these men were. They didn't know each other. Their journey would have taken them about 1,000 miles from home. The Magi were drawn by a star and by the belief that this star indicated that someone special has just been born. The star led them to Jerusalem, where they were further guided by the scriptures. They stand in marked contrast to the Jewish hierarchy, who knew that the Messiah was born but didn't do nothing. They took it for granted. For them, the birth of Christ was an entitlement. And you know the word entitlement nowadays is like a bad word, you know, that they owe it to them. It's not so. They also stand in a marked contrast to King Herod, a brutal tyrant who saw everyone as a threat to his power. My dear brothers and sisters, the biggest mistake we can make is to think we have reached our goal, that we know God well enough. I see this, my dear brothers, in the attitude of people who stop praying, who stop reading the scriptures, who stop coming to Mass. Perhaps, you see, using the pandemic as a way, well, you know, maybe it's so comfortable now, you know, to hear Mass on the YouTube. No, it's not. No, it's not. Make no mistake about it. No. There's nothing like coming to Mass. If people, some of them have that attitude, it's like, you know, for example, from my experience, it's like, you know, a daughter or a son, a family member, just lives 10 blocks away, you know, from the parents' house. And you know, the whole family is there. And this particular daughter or son says, no, you know, we won't come. We can watch you over YouTube. Does it make any sense? No. And that's exactly what the Mass is. There, you see. It's something very, very special. Jesus Christ, down to the level that we can understand. Yes, my dear friends, we continually discover new mysteries in the universe there. And so, what is the feast? Our pilgrimage, your pilgrimage, my pilgrimage through life is made up of many, many journeys. As parents, you wish many things for your children. As teenagers, I see here tonight, and adults, you look forward to the things that you will need to negotiate this journey of life called the millennials. They will include necessary things, just as education, ambition, but above all, patience. Many of us, if we were asked what we felt was important to take on life's journey, would put hope at the top of our list. My dear friends, as we begin this new year of 2022, let us remember that one of the virtues that is forgotten is hope. The three virtues, faith, hope, and charity. And I think as we go through life, as we are overcoming this pandemic, let us remember there's always hope. As long as there's life, there is hope. And that's what encouraged Jesus. He knew going to the cross would be the hope of the resurrection and the hope of our salvation. May this year of the Lord increase our hope in all of us. God bless you and Happy New Year. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You kindly stand, please. I believe.